I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, turn the radio on. It's Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Who's on the best candidate, you think, in the Democratic side on climate change? Who are you behind right now?
Oh, my God. It's Elizabeth Warren, I think.
Okay.
It's got to be a woman. I mean, we need a woman.
Good for you, you know? Martin.
The women are the only thing that can save us. Thank God for them. Why do I like Elizabeth Warren? What's not to like? She's a beautiful lady.
Jed Bartlett endorses Elizabeth Warren, and what's not to like about her? She's beautiful.
She's a good-looking lady.
I think in that whole statement, we went backwards.
What's not to like? She's good-looking. Come on, people.
She's a hottie with a body.
She's hot.
I do hear that about Warren a lot.
Martin Sheen.
Do you?
Did you watch The West Wing?
No.
Did you?
I did.
It's so good.
It's amazing.
Jed Bartlett is Martin Sheen's character as a president, and... it's funny to me how the West Wing was supposed to be palatable for people on both sides. I'm a conservative person, this just in, and Jed Bartlett is not a Republican, but I still loved the show.
Mm-hmm.
But there are times where they're talking about policies and they've got like the building music in the background. I'm like, this is crap.
This is all crap. But it did.
It's really well written, though.
I did understand the roles a lot more of what each person does in an administration.
And that there are a lot of people in an administration. Same thing with not West Wing. What's the other one? House of Cards? Mm-hmm. Only that got weird.
I can't think of a political show I've ever watched. Maybe the movie Dave?
Is there more to that statement?
What's that? I don't.
You've never watched one?
I don't like political dramas.
I love them.
Ugh, I think they're such garbage because they're all written by.
Stop. Let's go back to the part where you said you've never seen them. How do you know they're garbage?
Well, I've seen enough of them.
No, you're prejudging.
Know. Yes and no.
You're prejudging.
I've seen enough.
No, you haven't.
Of them to know that
You said you maybe watched Dave. You can't be judging every White House drama that's been on TV and saying that they're all useless when the extent of your experience with said entertainment is that you maybe watched the movie Dave. That doesn't even have anything to do.
You know the problem with your argument is that
it's
really
rational.
Good.
I know. Those political shows, all those dramas that have to do with life in the White House, it's ridiculous.
Oh,
but I've only ever seen possibly the movie Dave.
Look, I'm going to say something to you that I don't normally say. You win this round.
Thank you.
ding.
You know what we should do now? We should talk to one Chris Steirewalt, the politics editor for Fox News, joins us now. Chris, great to have you on the show today. Have you ever seen The West? Did you watch The West Wing?
I was going to say I want in on this.
Yes.
Yes. So you mentioned was it you who mentioned Dave, the movie?
Well, we were talking about how much, even though our politics didn't necessarily align with Jed Bartlett's, how wonderful The West Wing is. Ryan dissed it, but then he said he doesn't watch any of them, and he maybe remembers watching the movie Dave.
I would rather eat asbestos shingles than listen to the hideous dialogue of Aaron Sorkin.
Really?
Thank you.
No.
Thank you, Chris Steirewalt.
That show in the newsroom is the most self-serious, ridiculous.
Is it not realistic? Is that not how it really goes?
Have you ever heard people talk? Are you familiar with people and them speaking?
I listen to the eloquence of our president every day, Mr.
Each Shiloh. And every day. The newsroom was it was a more heinous version because as people get more successful,
I haven't seen that one yet.
It's take the terrible, heinous dialogue of The West Wing, and then imagine if Sorkin was at a place in his career where no one could tell him, gosh, that sounds stilted and ridiculous. No one would ever say that.
Oh, my gosh. I'm following you on Twitter.
I hate that you are giving Ryan any credit right now because he's never seen any of them
do
before.
Do you even know, like, Aaron Sorkin? Do
yes,
you know
I
him
know
well
who
enough?
Aaron Sorkin
okay.
is.
Wow. I think you just got mansplained in a very – do you even know what an Aaron Sorkin is, Annie?
That's why Ryan's here. Ryan's here so that I can understand things and then say them into this microphone.
This is man talk, okay?
That's right.
Don't interfere yourself with these things. Go back to your quoting bee.
This all started because Martin Sheen endorsed Elizabeth Warren, and he says, what's not to like? She's a beautiful lady. And I said, I think in some respect that is us going backwards. That maybe, maybe Elizabeth Warren has something more to offer than her undeniable beauty.
So yeah, I wrote today about Cory Booker dropping out.
Yes, that happened.
And the one-note-ism of the Democratic Party this cycle, the obsessive focus on the progressive side of the coin. So on the right side of American politics, we've moved more and more towards nationalism, which carries its own dangers.
Mm-hmm.
On the left side, the dangers arise from, yes, socialism, but within that construct, both the idea of identity and intersectionality. So identity says that you are the sum of the definitions within you. Are you, what is your faith? What is your race? What is your creed? What is your gender? What is your identity? Those things. And then there's a matrix, there's a bingo card that says some of these have higher status than others and some of them have lower status than others. And what the Democrats, who I don't know if anybody remembers this, nominated and saw elected an African-American man 12 and 8 years ago.
Yeah.
They have forgotten how you do that. And the way that you do that is not by focusing on intersectionality and not by focusing on narrowing things, but on broadening things out. The Washington Post headline on Cory Booker's announcement was, Cory Booker exits race, making field less diverse. Here's a person with a broad panoply of experiences. Here's a guy who was an All-American football player. Here's a guy who went to Stanford. Here's a guy who earned a Rhodes Scholarship to Oxford, went to Yale Law School, twice got elected the mayor of a pretty large city, twice elected to the United States Senate. And in the end, what the Washington Post wants you to know about him is that he's a black guy.
Yeah.
And that's not enough. It's not enough. Barack Obama, when he got elected, remember when Hillary Clinton came at him with Jeremiah Wright?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wouldn't have been in his church. I could tell you that. Heaven forfend that I would have been where people were saying things like that. And she was trying to paint Obama as some sort of a radical. And he went and gave a speech and he said, if we're going to win, we have to win together and we have to quit trying to divide ourselves along these lines. And 12 years later, that's what Democrats are about, which is asking the question, should Elizabeth Warren be offended that an old dude said that she was a beautiful woman? I don't know. Should she? I guess that's on her. If she wants to be president, she better get over being offended about things.
Yeah, yeah, that's for sure. Let me ask you about that. I remember when Kamala Harris dropped out, there was discussion that America wasn't ready for a black woman to be president. And as far as I know...
No, just not Kamala Harris.
Well, you know, it's the Democrats are the ones who get to pick who they run in the general election. So it's more of a specific group of people who were not supporting Kamala Harris at that point in time.
Are there any black women in the running for the Republican nomination this cycle? I'm pretty sure not.
Yeah.
Not that I'm aware of. Is America ready for a black woman president? Maybe, but not her because she's bad at it. She's not good at running for president, so she's not going to be the nominee. We have a tendency in all precincts, in all corners of the political landscape, to be deterministic, which is to say, if you go back to 2004, and look at what the received wisdom after George W. Bush beat John Kerry, much to the surprise to many, and Democrats were just crushed. And what they said was the secret for Democrats is they need to go right. They need to find somebody who could appeal to the Bubbas, right? They said that Bush had won because of God's Guns and Gays, and they needed somebody who could appeal to what they called NASCAR dads, and it was going to be Hillary Clinton. It was going to be a hawkish, soft on gun control, somebody who could appeal to these folks. No one would have said, find a guy, middle name Hussein, big ears, dad from Kenya, and most liberal senator in the United States, preferably almost no experience. No one would have said that. But in fact, Obama won. And he didn't win because the issue set was right. He didn't win because of his ethnicity. He won because he was good at it. That's the same thing with Trump. Trump didn't win because he was the host of The Celebrity Apprentice, or he didn't win because of all of those things. Yeah, there were currents there, but those currents were there when Mitt Romney won the nomination. Trump won because he was good at it. And you got to be good at it. And Kamala Harris wasn't good at it.
Is anybody who's going to be on that stage tomorrow night in this debate, or anybody who's trying to win that nomination who's not going to be on the stage, any of them good enough to beat Donald Trump in 2020 here?
It depends on what the situation is. Look, if we're in a recession, then yeah, Trump is probably dead meat. The Republicans always complain Trump doesn't get enough credit for the good economy. I always say he is. If he wasn't, he would be at 35%, not 45%. Mm-hmm. And that's the truth. Trump will live and die by the strength of the economy. With a good economy and we're at peace, then Trump's chances are better than even, 6 out of 10, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
If the Democrats nominate Elizabeth Warren, that's their worst case scenario. That's what so many Democrats are afraid of, is because if she loses, she could cause huge damage down the ticket, right? You would lose House seats, although you might lose the House, lose seats in the Senate, make their minority smaller in the Senate, not just as a branding issue, disastrous, because they've got a coalition they've got to keep together. Minority voters, some poor whites, but a growing number of affluent college-educated suburbanites, and you've got to find a way to appeal to those voters. And, you know, Warren would be a toxic asset. Could Biden beat him? Yeah, I think Biden can beat him. If you had to pick, he'd be the one that would probably give Trump the toughest time.
Mm, yeah, it's interesting to watch. Biden seems to just be a product of what doesn't happen to him more than about anything that he's doing that seems to be a bold, strong message. And is it true that Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren are splitting some of the vote?
Yes, but not as much as we originally thought. So as it turns out, one of the interesting stories about Warren, she was appealing to that hard left, whether you call them Democratic Socialists or the progressive left, whatever phrase, she was appealing to those folks. But part of her core was in these highly educated, these are PhD holders, these are professionals, these are college educated, very affluent folks. Her problems, turns out that Pete Buttigieg was in a really good position to take advantage of that. So she was sort of caught between both Sanders and Buttigieg. I think it's pretty clear that Sanders has decisively won the fight for those voters, for the progressive left voters. And she's put herself in a pickle, but she deserves to be where she is because she has run just a terrible, terrible campaign.
One last question before we let you go. We're speaking with Chris Steierwald here. I know you're a Cardinals fan. What's more likely in 2020, a Democrat wins in November or the Cardinals sign Nolan Arenado?
I don't know. You always ask me unfair baseball questions.
I know. Did you
make me look like a dope?
Did you see the news that came out about Houston?
What's the news?
So Houston apparently cheated, and then they were stealing signs. MLB dropped a one-year suspension for the GM, Jeff Luhnow, and manager, A.J. Hinch. They lost first and second-round draft picks in both 2020 and 2021 and a fine of $5 million for stealing signs.
They can go hang out with the guy who made the domestic violence joke. It'll be cool.
Yeah, there's a whole thing going on.
They can be there chilling.
Next time we talk, you can give me the dem answer, they are not a thing. I'll let you do some research.
Just the Cardinals are going to do it, and
yes.
I'm just sticking with blind commitment. And optimism, because
yes.
Why not? It
yes.
costs the same.
Amen. Go Cardinals, right?
Viva Albertos.
Amen. Talk to you again soon, Chris Steierwald. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye. On Twitter, at Chris Steierwald, also author of Every Man a King. Go check out his book. You can find it on Amazon. We will tweet it out as well, at Annie Fry Show. Let's take a quick break. We'll follow up on all of that and get your phone calls in here. Do you think what he's saying is correct about those Democrat the different candidates that are there? It seems to me like he doesn't think Didn't it kind of feel like it's Biden or bust?
Yeah. That's absolutely
everything he said was correct the whole time he was on.
Shut up, Ryan. 314-241-9797. If you call in and insult Ryan, we'll put you on the air. Back in a minute.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hold on a second. We're researching Aaron Sorkin. Ryan, could you just bask in the glory of Chris Steigerwalt just totally making your thoughts and opinions on The West Wing, which you've never, ever seen?
Yeah, he really snatched victory from the jaws of defeat for me.
That was ridiculous.
Because I had conceded defeat already, and then he came back and gave it back to me.
He told me I was right.
I really thought that whenever he started his sentence that he was going to say how much he hated Dave.
He wanted in.
I did too.
He wanted it.
I thought he was going to pile on me.
And
just
by
like
Dave,
everybody else does.
We're talking about the movie.
The movie.
Not Dave Glover.
Yes.
No. Who's in the next
the
episode.
Movie Dave. Why are we talking about the movie Dave?
Chris Steigerwalt on The Annie Fry Show said, hey,
speaking
Dave
of
Glover.
St. Louis connections, though, yeah. Kevin Kline.
Kevin Kline, what about it?
He's from St. Louis.
Who's Kevin Kline?
He's the star of. He's Dave.
Oh.
He's Dave in Dave.
I don't comment on Dave because I haven't seen it.
Because you haven't seen it.
No.
Yet you're making
you
fun
Kevin
of it.
Kline. No, I'm not making. I'm not. Yeah, Kevin Kline. I know him.
Star
I'm not
Dave.
Making fun of Dave. I'm making fun of you.
I know.
Good.
I can feel it.
This is emanating.
By the way, we were talking about other things you might have seen with Aaron Sorkin.
Yeah.
We were talking about Newsroom, West Wing, Sports Night. American President, so he does a lot of political stuff, mostly political stuff. The show you're thinking of, it's not Aaron Sorkin. I realize you're thinking of Aaron Spelling.
As you were saying that, it's Tori Spelling's dad, yes. Who did all of those.
Yes.
Hey, Frank, can you come in here? Get Frank in here. Can he hear us?
Frank.
We'll see.
Is he listening to the radio show right now? Frank Ladd, come in here. Frank, come here.
Can he talk more authoritatively about
Aaron Sorkin?
Spelling?
Aaron Spelling, yeah. We've got a Saved by the Bell question. Frank, can you come in here real quick? Kid is like setting up the microphone and everything like he's a high-profile guest on this very show. What is he doing out there?
Here he comes.
Warm. He just sent me a tweet. I want you to break this news that you just sent.
Oh, it was a tweet from a caller. Well, a caller mentioned it,
mm-hmm.
and I looked it up to verify it. And our own Runny Knots from here in St. Louis
yep.
is posting that the general manager and the manager now of the Houston Astros no longer have jobs.
Fired.
No,
not just
kidding.
Suspended.
Wow.
As in
they've
Jeff
been fired.
Yeah. What do you think about what's your reaction to all of this? The cheating, the suspension, the penalties, Aaron Sorkin.
I'm stunned. honestly stunned by it all. Absolutely stunned that they would come down this harsh.
Have you followed the cheating scandal? Can you
about as well as Ryan has.
Oh, okay. So you haven't.
So decently.
Well, So what happened in 2017 throughout part of 2017 is that the Astros had a system to where they would use cameras out on the field and monitors in the dugouts and a trash can, and they figured out what pitches were being thrown, and they would bang on this trash can to alert their batters as to what type of pitch was to look for. Yeah. And
wow.
If
fastball,
you go back,
and then you hear clang, 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 then you know you got a fastball or whatever it is.
Right. Yeah. And if it's a breaking pitch, you don't hear anything. So there's video that people posted on Twitter 3-4 months ago where you can watch this and you can see it happen almost in real time and hear the bangs or the no bangs and whether or not a batter takes a pitch or swings away.
Wow.
That is so interesting. One time I took my son to see the show Stomp. Mm-hmm. But it was actually a Houston Astros game, I realized, after we had gotten there.
Anyway,
you're welcome.
Frank, no. I would have a timeout,
are we
but
ever
I don't
putting
know.
Him in timeout again?
Hey,
what happened
yeah.
to that?
No, no, real
I like
point.
That bit a lot.
Isn't it weird? Isn't it weird? And I don't know if we've really arrived there yet.
Where's
with this
Tony?
Story, since it's a brand new story. But do the Cardinals not come out smelling like roses on pretty much everything they do? Even
Why?
If it's accidental?
What does that have to do with this?
they Jeff Lanau was this golden child, and when we lost him, everybody was like, "Oh
so,
man!"
Yeah, Frank, what do you think Jeff Lanau and the manager? How complicit are? Is there any way? Is there any way that this is happening and they are not fully aware of what's going on?
No,
no
because
way.
Because there's statements from the manager AJ Hinch in the report that say
fastball is banking.
Right. that say that he was aware of it. Mm-hmm. And that actually, in a couple instances, they had to replace that TV monitor in the dugout because he damaged it because he didn't like what was going on.
Whoa.
However, he didn't take it up the chain at all and actually make it stop.
So he tried to stop it.
Right.
It didn't
stop. In his own way. And then I guess you'd say he kind of let it go.
A January 13th regime change at pretty much every level is a pretty big
shocking.
Gut punch.
Absolutely shocking. And there's questions whether or not we're going to see more with the Boston Red Sox, with their manager, Alex Cora.
Wow.
So let's talk about Boston again, too, because the Houston Astros win the World Series in 2017. This was taking place then, correct?
Then, as well as
the full next year.
Last year, too.
And then in 2018, who wins the World Series? The Boston Red Sox.
Mm-hmm.
And they're under investigation, and there's been evidence to suggest they were doing something that was pretty
very
much
similar.
Exactly the same.
Yep.
And then they win the World Series. What happens next? We were just talking earlier. I don't know why we're talking about baseball so much. No, I do. I like it. But we were talking about the steroid era and Mark McGwire. That tainted a whole era. I mean, Frank and I actually worked
Absolutely.
At KFNS at the same time back in like a previous lifetime. I was saying we talked about Barry Bonds every day, all day, every week. It was exhausting.
Yes.
Now,
but you had to.
Yeah, because it was the news and it's sports talk radio. But in a situation like this where you have two World Series championships that are wrapped up in blatant cheating, is this going to become is this their way of saying we will not accept this? This is not allowed. And if this happens again, it will be twice as bad.
That's why
if they don't nip
penalties
it in the bud,
are so harsh. Right now,
what's going to happen to the Red Sox?
How much worse will it be for them? And if anybody even sniffs this, how bad will it be for them down the road? Obviously, this is we're never going to have this type of thing happen again. Now, to be honest, I'm surprised that it isn't going on everywhere.
Is it? Because that was kind of my point about the Mark McGwire Sosa thing. There were a lot of people doing steroids who never made it.
And
there were a lot of people who were probably minor leaguers who maybe saw the show for a call-up every once in a while and didn't get any. That's how far their juicing mm-hmm. took them. To think that it was just a handful of these really bulky guys hitting home runs is ridiculous.
No. Well, how rampant
is it?
Remember those steroids are not 100% always for people bulking up. They're for helping you get back
mm-hmm.
after you're injured. Recovery time too. So there's guys that were on it were not the big huge bulky guys that used them as well.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, like I said, I think it's I'm surprised that it isn't rampant because with all the technology that there is right now, how you can pull up any camera angle in any mm-hmm. any ballpark, how that sort of thing doesn't happen more often. And if it's just two teams out of 30, I'm shocked.
Yeah.
But maybe they were just the two obvious ones.
Yeah.
And the ones that aren't doing it as much weren't caught.
And let's talk, too, about the idea of having, if you've got, you know, a batter at the plate and you've got a runner on second, and the runner on second can see that you're showing your signs, your sequence isn't that complicated, and they can tell you're getting a fastball, and they want to tip their helmet or something to tip. That's part of the game,
right.
I would say.
That is part of the game.
That is incredibly different than using technology that is hidden across the stadium to cheat your way into mm-hmm. knowing a pitch that somebody's throwing.
That's
way different. I've seen people react to me like, oh, stealing signs is part of the game. This is Grand Theft Larceny of stealing.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that those two teams were the ones named in this because they just won World Series. So maybe they were the only two teams doing this to that extent, and that's why they were so successful.
Yeah.
Well, and you had a former pitcher talk about it openly, say, hey, that kind of stuff happened when I was...
And he told, or are you talking
recently,
about somebody else?
Recently. Oh. I can't remember his name right now, but he talked about it openly because he told teammates on his team when they went to face Houston, said, hey,
this
by the way, this is what's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That was, you know, a month ago or so we saw that report?
Yeah, I remember reading that as well. It's just a crazy story. So as Frank is reporting with us from Rennie Knott here in town, Astros cleaning house. This is on his Twitter. Lunau and Hinch are fired. The GM and the manager, right? Is that who it is?
Yes.
Gone from the mm-hmm. Astros.
Anybody else picturing Jeff Lunau down on the field hitting the trash can like Matthew McConaughey?
What are you doing? What is the shimmy?
McConaughey
shimmy,
was
shimmy shake.
When did Matthew McConaughey hit a trash can?
He got arrested a few years ago for being out in the middle of the night, probably wasted.
I love Matthew McConaughey.
And drumming on trash cans.
No.
Mike Fiers was the former Astros pitcher. He joined some anonymous sources in confirming the caper of stealing signs.
Ooh, I like the word caper.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Ryan.
All right. All right, here he is.
That's how this is going to be referred to
Fiers,
from now on.
Who pitched for Houston from 2015 to 2017, told The Athletic that when he left the Astros to pitch for the Detroit Tigers and the Athletics, he warned his new teammates to be aware at Minute Maid Park. I had to let my team know so that we were prepared for when we went to play them at Minute Maid Park.
How are you so blatantly invested in stealing and expect people to keep that to yourself? Like, that's not like what happens in Houston stays in Houston. Right. And also, what is the... I would like to look at the statistics. I'm sure this is probably easily accessible online at this point, but look at the hitting statistics of these players at home and at home games and in away games, because you would have a huge advantage hitting at home, knowing what pitch is coming.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're not guessing. And
so much of it is.
Yeah, so much of it. Wow, just a crazy story happening right now in Major League Baseball. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we take some phone calls, 314-241-9797. If you go to the Facebook page right now, facebook.com/Annie Fry Show, we are live on Facebook right now. You can see us all in the studio, and we have a poll up. Who will be the Democrat nominee? Biden, Sanders, Warren, or Buttigieg? Facebook only allows me four options. They're the top four polling right now. Biden, Sanders, Warren, Buttigieg, go in and get your vote in right now. 69% of you right now think it's Joe Biden. 2% say Buttigieg. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Please, do you have that song, the Chaperone song from...
I can pull it up. Yes,
I was playing this for my kids yesterday. Here's what I want to do. We talked about, I think this is what I was going to tell you before, and I forgot. I got interrupted with something. We've done the Ryan Shuffle before, and the Ryan Shuffle is not that little dance that you saw him doing on the webcam before.
That's the shimmy.
That's the Ryan shimmy. Can you just, for the rest of this, just kind of do that? Why were you even shimmying before?
Because he said Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, I said Matthew McConaughey hitting trash cans.
And this is just
shiver.
What naturally happens.
He had a shiver down
his spine.
And
he was doing this little dance. He got arrested.
You do not remind me of Matthew McConaughey right now.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Macaron. Yeah, macaron. No, chacaron.
So,
chacaron.
What's the story behind this song?
Oh, you want to talk about the song itself?
This is Ryan.
This is Ryan.
Sometimes when Ryan talks, this is what I hear.
No, this apparently was a song by some pop artist who was, I don't know if he was big or not, but he was a Latin American pop artist.
Big now.
He had an idea for a song. It was this. And he's like, I'm not going to write all the words, though. I'm just going to kind of generally
The vibe.
Yeah, I'm going to throw in like what I would do in each part in and then send it to my producer. I don't know if the producer thought it was funny.
It's hilarious.
It's the best.
It is.
This sounds like
song.
You, though. This sounds like something you would put together.
Yeah.
Annie, I got something great. You're going to love it.
Yeah.
It's a good beat.
It's the equivalent of him going, words here, words here, words here. And then,
what? Yeah. This is going to get in your head now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's hard to sing. If you want to, hum it, that's what you do. And then it's... So the Ryan Shuffle, which we've done before, where Ryan gets up a whole bunch of stories. And just like when you get in your car, first of all, you have your radio station set to 97.1, and we are grateful for that. But sometimes if you're bopping through radio stations for music and you're looking for a song, you don't have to have them together right now. I'm not going to do this to you right now.
Oh, I've got it.
You do?
It's up to you.
Well, what we did with the Ryan Shuffle before is I get to just like hit the button and change the story. He can present a story and then I can change it. But I want them all to sound like they're from different kinds of radio stations.
Ah, okay.
So you might have to prepare. Maybe we could do this tomorrow.
Okay.
So like maybe one of them is a sports talk station. One of them is all news all the time. One of them's a country music station, but they're all reporting these different stories.
Do I have to present them as a DJ on those stations?
Yeah.
I'll try.
And I got this because what did you say last week? You said, I don't remember what you were talking about, but you just went into this something about stacks of wax or something.
Oh, yeah.
And I went back and watched it, and I just laughed so hard. And I'm like, I didn't know that thing was in Ryan.
I don't even remember
that. And it just presented
that.
Itself. And it was funny.
24-hour chalk block rock. Spinning hot stacks of wax.
I don't know
on
what
the rock
is.
Station, 97.1.
Oh, my gosh.
That thing?
Fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to give you time. I want it to be a home run the first time.
How do I share a news story like that?
You've got to sound like somebody you who's real it. Newsy. Did you ever meet Jason Church?
Once.
Listen to an audio clip of Jason Church and you'll okay. nail it.
He was so good.
He was.
I'm Jason Church. When he left, I got him a cake and it said on it, he's Jason Church.
Let's talk about the Hanukkah stabbing.
I don't know about that one.
No.
No? That's what's on the TV.
Maybe not that one.
Maybe give it a minute.
Suspected serial bank robber released from jail.
I'll put together some audio.
We were supposed to have supposed to have Stephen Moore on the show at 1:10. He ghosted us. But the Heritage Foundation just liked the tweet promoting who's gonna be
I sent that tweet like 15 minutes before.
Heritage,
it.
Maybe just, you know, give him the nudge.
Don't give him the heads up.
I love it when Stephen's on your show.
Hit.
We listen to it every time. Loved it today.
It was the best one he's done. Man.
I think that explains why this segment is what it is. Because we've had to shuffle all the good segments in to replace that one, and now we're out.
This is it.
Yep.
Dave Glover coming in here soon. Not soon enough.
I've got a piece of information.
Okay.
Abby Huntsman is leaving The View.
That's right. I saw that.
She's leaving The View.
What's she doing?
I think she's going to go help her dad in Utah with his campaign.
Run for governor.
She's a senior advisor.
I don't know if I'll ever watch The View again.
I don't know if I ever watched it before.
You know, Ding. But this is, Ryan and I said this, they had two conservatives, air quote,
I hate
on
it.
The View.
Yeah, anti-Trump conservatives.
I hate it.
Right.
But they anti-Trump? They had two of them.
Well, Meghan McCain.
I don't know, but is Abby Huntsman like actively?
I don't think she's a big fan of Trump.
I don't know enough about her. But
she's not a big fan of Trump.
Just like White House
drama. Everything I know about Abby Huntsman, I learned from the movie Dave.
Which is probably made,
Kevin Klein.
Which was her feature film also. Yeah.
Yeah. She might have been.
She said, "This is always such a hard thing to do, but today I'm saying goodbye. My number one priority has always been my family." She will instead be helping her father, John Huntsman Jr., campaign for governor of Utah. There's
good
a picture. This picture of Abby Huntsman and Joy Behar is hilarious because it's supposed to be a goodbye picture. And Joy's like, I can't even say what she looks like she's saying.
Joy,
yeah. She does not look joyful.
Joy good looks riddance. Like she's taking a fan selfie with her co-host.
Bye.
Like, good riddance. Bye, girl. See you later.
Do you mind if I lean into your frame here for a second, Joy, and just get a selfie? Ooh.
But that is the only time that The View has ever had two conservative-ish ladies on the show, right?
Together, they don't even equal one conservative. I'm not buying it.
Do you know much about Abby Huntsman?
Like, what kind of things?
Like, is she actually conservative?
Yeah, I think she's... I think that... Yeah, I think so. But to me, she seems... She is not the person who needs to go be the ball of fire at that table to... I mean, Meghan McCain, first of all, I think we probably agree 70% of the time, maybe. Could be 85. It's just the things that you... This is the way it is in real life, folks.
Mm-hmm.
The things that you disagree about seem way bigger than the majority of things that you actually agree upon, which I think is something that Donald Trump has done for the Republican Party in a pretty successful way. which is to consolidate focus around these economic issues that have shown a lot of success in his tenure as president. Meghan McCain, first of all, always remember she's there to entertain. Mm-hmm. She is not there to shape policy. That's boring. Nobody would watch it. And if she were there to shape policy, she'd get fired because she'd be boring. That is an important part of show business, to understand that these people go on there. They have to be the whole package. They have to be able to wrestle with the Joy Behar and Whoopi Goldbergs and hold their own. Meghan McCain pretty much does that. She's got so many personal things attached to her position there, with her dad being John McCain. John McCain and Donald Trump, probably the biggest intra-party feud that has existed for the Republicans in the Trump era. And it went all the way back to the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Because Donald Trump said stupid things about John McCain and his service to our country. I think they were stupid. I don't think that that, like, is the baby out with the bathwater. If I'm going to say that I'm never going to support anything Trump did again, I don't understand why it's an all or nothing proposition when we talk about politicians, where we can't say that's bad, hate that, love that, killing that. That is amazing. I mean, that's the way we do everything in life. Politics should be the same. Abby Huntsman seems very sweet. I think she's conservative. I think she's well-spoken. I think that she has good ideas. I think that she's overmatched on The View. And I honestly would say that as a compliment to Abby Huntsman.
Mm-hmm.
What would The View look like, though, if you put somebody on there who is a legit conservative apologist like yourself, Annie, and actually let them argue on these things?
Every time I argue with somebody on this show about, if I have a caller call in, and we put on Facebook, I asked what people loved about the show and what people would like to see change, and we got a lot of response. And there was quite a few suggestions there that we get people, take more calls from people who disagree. First and foremost, I love those phone calls. I take them almost all the time when I get them, but I won't take the same person who's going to disagree with me on Monday about Trump and on Tuesday about Trump. Mm-hmm. If the same person's doing it every day, that's not entertaining to people. But if you disagree with me, by all means, call me and tell me about it. And I will have a respectful conversation with you. You can leave completely disagreeing with what I say, and I'm cool with that. And I hope you are too. I like that. I don't know that in the massively overmatched realm of The View that I could sustain the mutual respect there, because they don't respect conservatives.
No, they told Meghan McCain to be quiet.
Yeah.
Whoopi Goldberg is like, enough out of you, be quiet.
I can't put myself in a position to have these kind of conversations that I'm talking about with people because I care about them. I don't think that Whoopi Goldberg doesn't care. I don't think that Joy Behar doesn't care, but I do think that they are massively disrespectful to conservatives and conservatism. It's not just specifically Meghan McCain. If I were, first of all, ridiculous assertion that I would ever have that kind of an opportunity, but if I were to have something similar to that, if I didn't feel as though the ideology that I represented was going to be respected, I wouldn't want to do it because it would be a lost cause. You're so overmatched in numbers around that table. And that's on purpose. You know show business. They are constructing something there. And they know who they are talking to. They know what they know the people they want to talk to. And to have somebody come in, I mean, Meghan McCain isn't like a hyper conservative voice for every conservative in America. She is a version of conservatism that they have selected and decided is good to put in there. I can think of other conservatives, females who exist, that would go in there and really just light the thing on fire and really affect a strong argument. But in the end, if they successfully turn you into the witch that they are trying to show the ideology to be, then you've still lost. Even if you feel like you've won that argument, they still win. So I don't know. Like, The View isn't for me. I am a 35-year-old mother of three. If I were sitting at home, would I be turning The View on? No. I watch Outnumbered, but Outnumbered will talk about daily issues that are affecting people. They'll talk about news that's happening more than what The View does, seems to be more cultural sometimes. And I just know that they're not there for me. It's the same reason when I watch CNN and MSNBC. There's nobody who comes on there that I'm like, oh, that person's on. I think just like them. I never feel represented when I watch those. And I know that when I watch Fox, I hear people talking all the time who I feel don't represent me at all, which is why I do think that they're more balanced. There's just more inclusion, whereas the other side, they say they report straight news. When opinion comes in, they never have anybody in there who's really advocating for me.
But whenever they do drop a bomb, man, I'm like, oh, go Ricky, go Ricky.
I will. What about when you go on The View?
Go Ricky.
You've got wigs, right? And a shimmy?
Yeah.
Come on.
I got wigs and a shimmy. They'd Let's be like, hey, got. Is that Matthew McConaughey?
You look like a conservative woman. You're exactly all right, what I pictured all right. in my brain. Ryan Wiggins. Rihanna Wiggins. Dave Glover coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.